It may be largely unseen, but it is essential to our current and future well-being. Stay safe. M. Ray Perryman is the head of the Perryman Group and serves as Distinguished Professor at the International Institute for Advanced Studies. Thank you for joining us for this week's readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Business and Oil sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device.
Now, here's your forecast for the Midland-Odessa area. It's 60 and cloudy. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-40s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the mid-70s. Tomorrow night, clear with a low in the mid-50s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Welcome to this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Sunday, April 12th, 2020, Life and Times. Homegrown. Residents see benefits in raising backyard chickens. Having chickens inside the city limits is currently illegal. By Michael Bauer, M-B-A-U-E-R, at OAOA.com. During the COVID-19 panic, certain items have been in short supply. That has been the case when it comes to eggs. Some people see a benefit in raising backyard chickens. However, in Odessa, it is currently illegal for residents to have chickens inside the city limits. Odessa resident Ginger Lassiter wishes that was not the case, as she says there are numerous benefits to raising backyard chickens. Basically, letting people have backyard chickens is good for family, Lassiter said. It teaches children responsibility. They make wonderful pets. A chicken can have one egg every 26 hours, so in a condition like what we're having now, you don't have your elderly having to get out and go get a certain food product. They have that food product at home, and that's where everyone is supposed to be staying right now. Lassiter said it's been an ongoing issue with the city council over the last couple of years, but nothing has happened. We contact them constantly through emails and nothing happens, Lassiter said. Either say yes or no, but we wish they would do something. According to Lassiter, Odessa is one of the few places in West Texas that does not allow backyard chickens. 4 to 6 chickens is what Midland offers. Midland does it, Crane does it, Wink does it. Everyone in West Texas does it except Odessa. In Austin, you can not only have chickens, but also goats and peacocks, and that's our capital of this state. I just don't understand why Odessa is being this way. I've been here for over 30 years, and still nothing as far as backyard chickens go. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's not just us wanting to do it. It's happening all over the country. People just want to be self-sufficient. We need the city council to do something. She says she has emailed each and every one of the city council members. I sent them the same information that Lisa Steele, an author who lives in Maine who has raised chickens, gave them, and I told them that she would be happy to answer any of their questions, Lassiter said. But even if they could get together by a conference call and vote on it by that, then give us a chance to get started on it. But we just can't give them the chance to do anything. While Lassiter has not raised chickens before, she says she has done a lot of research over the years. She added that she's also been in contact with Steele. Steele has been trying to encourage people for years to raise backyard chickens. In the last couple of weeks, it's gone crazy, Steele said. People are starting to realize that it's nice to have eggs from the backyard. Knowing that I have eggs in the backyard, I never have to worry about being short on eggs. If somebody had told me that I can only have 5 different foods in a period of time, I would absolutely pick eggs. They're a great protein source. The chickens themselves, they're fairly easy. They're fairly small. They fit into a suburban backyard with not a lot of problem. A family can have 5 or 6 chickens and have enough eggs to keep them going. You don't need 500 chickens for a family. While Steele doesn't sell eggs back home, she has been giving them away. With eggs being in short supply at the grocery stores, she's been giving away a higher number of eggs than usual. It definitely varies, but we've had people come over and we'll leave them on the picnic table and they'll pick them up, Steele said. We'll leave about 2 dozen at a time. Steele says she's been giving away about 48 eggs per week. That's in addition to whatever we've been eating, Steele said. It's a good time of the year right now because the chickens lay really well during the spring. Anyone who has more chickens has more eggs than they know what to do with. As for some people who have been able to raise chickens and sell eggs, they've seen a lot of business in the last couple of weeks. It's been crazy, said Elissa Lara, who lives outside of Odessa and has been selling eggs for close to 6 years. We can't keep up. It's going good right now. I'm trying to get them out to people who really need them. We started limiting them to about 2 dozen, so there's not much stockpiling going on. Before the virus, Laura said she was selling close to about 10 dozen eggs a week and has now been selling about 22 dozen a week. That depends on the weather, too, Laura said. If it's cloudy, the chickens don't lay as much eggs. The eggs go for $5 a dozen. We don't make profit off of this, Laura said. That's just to help buy the chickens better feed or vegetables. This isn't a for-profit. They're just pets, and we like them. That money goes right back to into them.
God will show
follow
up.
Michael Bauer
by
on
Daniel
Twitter.
Stevens.
At I was about 8 years old. She was 9. She lived down the street and occasionally stayed with us when her mom and dad stayed out late. This particular night, I didn't know Sarah was in the house. I had gotten out of bed to use the restroom. The one in the hall was being used, so I sleepily barged into my parents' bedroom to use theirs. Halfway to my destination, I noticed my parents were not in their room. Instead, 2 9-year-old eyes were staring directly at me. There I stood, exposed, in all my 8-year-old glory in nothing but my whitey-tighties, frozen with fear. This must have been what man and woman felt like in one of the first stories described in the Bible. Life was good. They had everything they needed. Relationship with God, each other, and a purpose in their work. Then one day, everything changed. Adam and Eve decided to define good and evil in their own terms. They rebelled against their Creator. God calls this sin. Immediately, they recognized their nakedness and covered themselves with fig leaves. When God arrived on the scene, both of them hid for fear, embarrassment, and shame. They were exposed. Once they were deeply connected with God and one another, now they were building barriers in between themselves and everyone and everything they used to love. Sin will do that. It separates humanity from God and one from another. Our sin makes us hide from God and hide from relationships. We cover ourselves with fig leaves because of the unbearable shame. But our fig leaves don't work. They provide just enough cover to make it feel as if we can get past the shame of the moment. It's not what God created us for. In a moment that points vividly to Easter, not waiting for mankind to come to him, God arrives in their front yard and allows them to fess up. He covers their guilt and shame. The consequences of their sin was real, but so was his grace. There would be another time God would come into mankind's front yard, a time when he would call upon all who heard the good news to repent of their sin, where he would cover our guilt and shame. That's what we celebrate this Easter. The God who came to us called us to repentance, died on a cross, and 3 days later rose from the dead. It is through Jesus our shame is removed. It is through Jesus our connection to God is repaired. It is through Jesus our relationships are restored. This Easter is different for many reasons. Traditions have been tabled. The family you typically celebrate with has been pared down. Job insecurity is a reality for many in the basin. The COVID-19 pandemic has created fear and anxiety beyond what most have ever experienced. And for some, your connection to God and others is non-existent. My prayer is that in the middle of this quiet chaos, God would show up in your front yard. When he does, don't hide or cover up. He isn't there to load you up with shame. He's there to take it away. Walk in humility. Repent. Trust in Jesus. He will remove not only your shame, but also the sin that caused it. Daniel Stevens is the lead pastor of Mid-Cities Church. You can join him weekly online at www.midcities.org. Adapted from Genesis 1 through 3. Marigolds add vibrant color to your garden. Marigolds have beautiful, full blooms. They come in beautiful shades of orange and yellow. They germinate relatively quickly and will remain in bloom for about 8 weeks. They attract bees and other pollinators, so they are ideal for helping keep our pollinators fed and happy. Ladybugs, another beneficial insect, are also attracted to this flower. They are known for their natural insecticide properties and can keep away unwanted insects like white flies and tomato hornworms. They can even work against soil pests such as nematodes. French marigolds can be the most effective at this. When watering your marigolds, make sure you do so at the base of the flower and not overhead. Their dense flower heads do not benefit from excess moisture and can suffer from rot if this happens. They appreciate well-drained soil, so make sure you do not overwater them. Let the soil dry out a bit before the next watering. They appreciate full sun and can tolerate some shade, although in hot climates like ours, they can benefit from having some afternoon shade. Now is a great time to plant some marigolds and add some vibrant color to your garden. They benefit your garden with their pest-deterring properties and can be used in vegetable gardens to also keep out rabbits. Choose marigolds as your next garden planting project. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Gardening, Jeanette Castanon. Castanon is a horticulturist with Texas AgriLife Extension Service. She can be reached at 686-4700 or by email at Jeanette, J-E-A-N-E-T-T-E, dot Castanon, C-A-S-T-A-N-O-N, at ag.tamu.edu. Master Gardeners, a herbarium is a great way to get the kids outside, by Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. I'm seeing lots of mothers posting things on social media about their kids being a bit stir-crazy. Or maybe it was their kids making them crazy. Either way, you might want to get your kids outside and put together a herbarium. A herbarium is a book, think inexpensive binder, about plants. Each page has a leaf or flower of a plant that has been dried, flattened, and pasted onto the page. Next to the leaf, your child writes the place they found the plant and the date. Next, they add the common name and the scientific name of the plant. That information is easily found on the internet, as well as plant apps that can be downloaded for free. Let your child write what the plant can be used for, as well as how it smells and feels. There may be plants in your yard that are not edible, so let's not go so far as taste testing. This project can be added to daily and can be used during the entire quarantine, giving outdoor time that is full of education for both parent, temporary teacher, and child. If you have more than one child, let each have his or her own book and work in different parts of the yard, which might help with sibling distancing. A magnifying glass is always something that kids want to play with. Taking a close-up look at the plant and making observations can be really fun. Is it smooth or fuzzy? Does the top side of the leaf look the same as the underneath side? And if there is a bug, that is always a bonus. Once you have cultivated an interest in plants, you may want to start a small herb garden in your kitchen window. Kids love it when the first sprouts come through the soil and later get to eat what they grew. There are many online sources, even free printables for your herbarium project. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Gardening. Texas Master Gardeners. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org. Pets of the Week. Jazzy, a 6-year-old female cat, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Jazzy or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, or visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract, along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50. Bernice, a 6-year-old female Chihuahua mix, needs to be adopted into a good home. To adopt Bernice or any of the other pets at the Humane Society of Odessa, stop by 7012 Mockingbird Lane, call 381-5503, or visit www.odessahumanesociety.org, or leave a message at facebook.com/Humane Society of Odessa/. The Humane Society of Odessa is a no-kill pet adoption shelter, and all their pets require spay-neuter contract along with an adoption application. Adoption fees for pets start at $50.
Hello, this is Michael. I'll be continuing to read a few more lifestyle features from this week. The Midland Reporter-Telegram historically has published hints from Heloise, but in the last few weeks, that column is nowhere to be found in the paper. So I'm going to the Washington Post website to read a few columns from the past few weeks' hints from Heloise. This one is dated April 15th. portion control. Dear Heloise, an article I read recently stated we should daily eat 8 portions of a combination of fruits and vegetables. However, it did not define portion. Can you help clarify? I love to read your column in the Orange County Register. Dan C., Anaheim, California. Dear Dan C., the dietary guidelines per day for an average person are as follows. Vegetables, 2 to 3 cups. Fruits, 1.5 to 2 cups. Dairy, 3 to 4 cups, fat-free or low-fat. Grains, 5 to 8 ounces. Dear Heloise, when I make brownies, I cut the edges off, as my children do not like the ends or sides. I take the pieces I cut off and crush them up and use them for ice cream toppings. Or, after I frost a cake, I spread some on top of the frosting. It's a good way to use it up. No waste. Signed, Mary K.F., Schuylerville, New York. Dear Heloise, is it okay to freeze ketchup? Billy N., San Angelo, Texas. Dear Billy N., yes, you can. Ketchup has a long shelf life anyway, although freezing it will extend its expiration date. Fortunately, there really is no noticeable change in the flavor after it is thawed out. Dear Heloise, in reference to a previous column about dry cakes, I also used to have this problem until my daughter told me to use milk instead of water that is called for. I use 2% milk and it works great. Sue, Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dear Heloise, I am a longtime reader and enjoy and appreciate your advice. Question: what is a better way to store cookies? In a plastic bag, in the freezer, or in an airtight container? K. Miller via email. Dear K. Miller, although it's never advisable to store different kinds of cookies together, it really doesn't matter if you place them in the freezer or not, as long as the container they are in is airtight. Dear Heloise, my aunt bought some walnuts this year. We found that a lot of the walnuts are black in color. Why is this? They are not name brand nuts, so could they be number 2 grade? Also, the taste is not that great. Signed, Kathy H., Fairchance, Pennsylvania. Dear Kathy H., the black-colored walnuts have most likely been invaded by a fungus that can make its way through the walnut shell. This is especially true if the nuts have been damaged by sunburn, drought, or the husk fly. The taste will not be pleasant, and I don't advise eating them. Dear readers, here are some time-honored tips for the kitchen. Keep cabbage odors at bay by adding 2 tablespoons of vinegar to the water in which it boils. Lemon juice or vinegar added to cauliflower while it's cooking will keep it snowy white. Celery lost its crispness? Place it in a pan or bowl of cold water and add a slice of raw potato. Let it sit for a couple of hours in the refrigerator and it will regain its original crispiness. And now I'm moving to another column. This one was published April 14th. Points of Light Foundation by Heloise. Dear readers, there's nothing really like the joy you feel from giving of yourself and serving others. The Points of Light Foundation's National Volunteer Week is April 19th through the 25th. Originally founded in 1974, National Volunteer Week was established to acknowledge and thank those who selflessly grant their time, skills, donations of goods, services, funding, and platforms to help other people. In these trying times, there are still so many ways to do good things for others. Check out pointsoflight.org for more information. P.S. The nonpartisan Points of Light Foundation came about from President George H.W. Bush's famous 1989 1,000 Points of Light speech. Dear Heloise, what is artificial intelligence, or AI? Marie K. in Florida. Dear Marie K. in Florida, Artificial intelligence is the part of computer science that works to develop intelligent machines that can sense their environment and act to achieve a goal. Many drones work by artificial intelligence. Do you have one of those smart speakers or virtual assistants that can play music, dim the lights, set the alarm, give you a weather forecast, as well as many other tasks by your voice command? That is artificial intelligence. Dear readers, tomorrow is April 15th, normally the date when taxes are due. But due to the coronavirus pandemic, the IRS is suspending the due date to pay your taxes until July 15th. If you're not able to pay all that you owe or file your return on time, you can contact the Internal Revenue Service at irs.gov. They want to help. As you can imagine, their call volume is high right now. Check out the website first, and if you still have a question, give them a call. For individuals, call 1-800-829-1040. For businesses, call 800-829-4933. Do not avoid the IRS. They are eager to assist. Dear readers, the Internet has revolutionized information management. But is there an easier way to search for what you're looking for? Enter the bits of info into your search engine to save time and streamline your search. Looking for where a particular quote comes from? Put it in quotation marks. What's the definition of a word? Type define in the search bar before your word. To look for information on a range of things or information on a list, type two periods between the range. For example, comedy movies 1960 dot dot 1970. Happy navigating. Dear Heloise, I write a lot of online reviews for products, restaurants, hotels, services, and on and on. It's really important for the company to get honest and fair reviews. First off, if I had a problem or bad experience, I contact the company directly to give them a chance to fix it. Normally, they appreciate the opportunity to solve the problem. I always point out the positive and then offer a suggestion of how they can improve something minor. For example, the hamburgers are fresh and delicious, but my fries were a bit overcooked. You better believe those companies read their online reviews. Some even go in and respond with a comment. Dan R. in Connecticut. And now moving back, we're going to read the column that was published on April 13th. Gift Giving by Heloise. Today's sound off is about gift giving. Dear Heloise, my children seem to think I need all the latest gadgets to stay in contact with them. I appreciate their thoughtfulness, but a woman in her late 70s, like myself, will more than likely use the telephone to communicate with people. They have gifted me with a laptop computer, which is handy, I admit. But there are many electronic gadgets I don't use and, frankly, don't want. I have to learn how to use these items, and I never remember which buttons to push, even if the instructions that came with them are confusing. When deciding whether to buy someone a gift of electronics, please ask them if it's something they would like to have or use. Even the latest cooking device may end up collecting dust. I've asked my children to stop giving me things and just spend a little more time with me. Call for no other reason than just to say hello. Adele in Nebraska. Dear Adele in Nebraska, more and more people are downsizing and eliminating things they really don't need or want and gaining more freedom from the responsibilities of taking care of their possessions. The most important things in life really aren't things. Dear Heloise, everyone in my family has allergies. So to keep the dust down, I vacuum the walls and sometimes the ceiling. My vacuum, like most today, came with brush attachments that make this job easier. A handheld vacuum with a brush attachment and a strong motor works the best to keep down dust, pollen,